You're listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station. Stay tuned for the midday report, including stories about a local boat collision, updates on the borough assembly races, currently 60 degrees here in Kodiak. It's a beautiful day, Bob. We're looking for mostly cloudy skies today. 60 is our predicted high. Calm winds, pleasant conditions. Isolated showers are called for tomorrow. Just a friendly reminder from the harbor master. All persons arriving in Kodiak are required to self-quarantine 14 days from the time of arrival for those who have traveled by plane, or 14 days from the date of departure from the last port of call for those who have traveled by boat. All vessels who arrive in Kodiak are expected to check in at the Harbor Master Office, VHF Channel 16 or 12, or give them a call at 486-8080. Also, notice of traffic control near the end of the road in the Chiniac Highway. Those of you who drive out there often probably already know. There's a two-flagger 24-hour diversion for work that they're doing out there. It's going to be going on until work is complete, right at milepost number 42.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Postmaster General says he'll halt controversial cutbacks at the U.S. Postal Service until after the presidential election. The announcement from Louis DeJoy coming as accusations mount that he's helping the president stifle mail-in voting this election. More than a dozen states start to file lawsuits, and as he prepares to testify before Congress this Friday. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports on DeJoy's change of heart.
In a statement, Louis DeJoy said he's suspending the changes to avoid even the appearance of any impact on election mail. That means retail hours at post offices will not change, mail collection boxes will remain where they are, and no mail processing facilities will be closed. DeJoy also announced plans to add additional resources to satisfy any unforeseen demand starting the month before the election.
NPR's Windsor Johnston. The mail-in voting dispute is front and center at the Democratic National Convention that's taking place this week in people's homes across the country, since it's largely virtual due to the pandemic. Social media is abuzz still over former First Lady Michelle Obama's searing attack on Trump's presidency and Trump's tweet this morning that he would not have been voted in 2016 had it not been for his predecessor's performance. Tonight's primetime program includes former President Bill Clinton and New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Here's NPR's Don Gagne.
The theme for tonight's mix of live and pre-produced segments is Leadership Matters. Organizers say that will provide plenty of opportunity to contrast former Vice President Joe Biden's approach to governing with that of President Trump. President Clinton will speak. He has been a fixture at conventions going back to 1988, while this will be Representative Ocasio-Cortez's first convention speech. Also this evening, the roll call of the states. Elected officials will be joined by an array of American voters in 57 states and territories to cast the delegate votes, officially making Joe Biden the 2020 Democratic nominee. Don Gagne, NPR News.
Senate panels released a bipartisan report on Russia's interference in the 2016 election. Here's NPR's Ryan Lucas.
The Senate Intelligence Committee's report clocks in at nearly 1,000 pages and is based on hundreds of witness interviews and the review of millions of documents. It provides the most detailed look yet at the Russian government's interference in the 2016 presidential election, including the extensive contacts between the Trump campaign and Russia. The committee concludes, as the Mueller investigation did, that Russia engaged in a sophisticated and aggressive campaign to influence the U.S. election, although the panel's report adds some new details to what was already known. Perhaps the most notable aspect is that the committee's investigation was conducted on a bipartisan basis and that Democrats and Republicans alike endorsed its findings.
This is NPR. A Roman Catholic priest in Ohio is facing child sex trafficking charges. This morning, the FBI arrested the Reverend Michael Zacharias following Mass at St. Michael Parish in Findlay. Authorities say they believe the 53-year-old priest was involved in the sexual abuse of minors since the late 1990s in multiple parishes. The president and prime minister of Mali have been arrested by mutineering soldiers. As NPR's Ada Peralta reports, Mali has been mired in political chaos since 2012, when a military coup led to the election of the current president.
The soldiers made their move following months of popular protest. Demonstrators had taken to the streets, tired of corruption and of a government that seemed unable to tamp down an Islamist insurgency in the West African country. In the morning, soldiers took over a huge army base outside the capital. By afternoon, local news reported the soldiers had arrested President Ibrahim Boubacar Keita. France, which has thousands of troops in the country, called for maintaining constitutional order in Mali. The African Union called for the soldiers to immediately release the president and other government officials. Ada Peralta, NPR News, Nairobi.
Extreme heat's coming at a heavy price in the western U.S. In California, utilities are again urging customers to conserve and prepare for more rolling blackouts, with energy demand expected to hit a new record, and the cost of using energy is also expected to be the highest in at least a decade. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from iDrive, providing cloud backup, full system backup, and on-site iDrive appliance to protect PCs, Macs, and servers from data loss due to crashes and ransomware at iDrive.com/NPR and Americans for the Arts.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Welcome to your midday report. A Coast Guard investigation is underway into the capsizing of a Kodiak fishing boat on Saturday morning. Lexi Preston, a U.S. Coast Guard petty officer based in Juneau, said the two boats collided near Whale Pass, about 22 nautical miles east of Kodiak. Preston says the Denise Marie rolled after it collided with the Alaska Eagle. All four crew members of the Denise Marie, a 42-foot seiner, were in the water when they were rescued by the Alaska Eagle, a fishing tender twice its length. Preston said no injuries were reported, and the cause of the collision won't be made public until the investigation is over. KMXT's Rhonda McBride talked with the owner of the Denise Marie.
Michael Patitucci said he and his three crew members had just wrapped up a pink salmon opener on the Denise Marie, but it wasn't just any opener. Patitucci, who is 65, said he felt a satisfaction he had never experienced before, as if he had finally perfected the art of seining, that the crew, the boat, and the fish had all been in sync. And then suddenly, he said, they were all in the water after the Alaska Eagle hit the stern of the Denise Marie, basically rear-ending it. When his boat spun around, Patitucci said he didn't see anyone at the helm of the Alaska Eagle, and like a ghost ship, it moved towards them at about 8 knots. Patitucci says when his seiner capsized, his three crew members were below deck, Gunnar Lassen, Marielle Ellingson, and Daniel Carlson. My whole crew was trapped underneath the boat. I thought my whole crew just died, Patitucci said. I wanted to be dead if that was the case. But to Patitucci's relief, all three managed to swim out from underneath the boat to safety. By chance, Carlson had opened the galley door because he was hot, and that was how the three escaped. Patitucci believes it took the crew on the Alaska Eagle a while to realize what had happened. They had no clue, he said. They just ran over us. There wasn't anybody at the wheel. Patitucci says he and his crew were in the water for about 15 minutes when the Alaska Eagle sent an aluminum skiff to rescue them. He said the man who piloted the tender told him he was below deck when the boats collided, dealing with engine problems. The Coast Guard says the collision was reported at about 10 o'clock Saturday morning, and at that time, the temperature was 68 degrees, the wind at 13 knots, and visibility at 10 nautical miles. The water temperature was 64 degrees. The Denise Marie was moved out of the way of boat traffic, anchored in a cove near Whale Pass, sitting upside down in the water. Longtime mariners in Kodiak say they've never heard of a boat collision like this one. In Kodiak, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Monday was the deadline to file for races in the Kodiak Island Borough elections in October. Three assembly seats are open, and there are seven candidates in the running. They include Joseph Delgado, G. Alexander Hartman, Sandra Kotelnikoff Lester, Julie Kavanaugh, Rebecca Skinner, Jeffrey Smith, and Amy Williams. There are also two seats open on the Kodiak Island Borough Board of Education, and two candidates have filed, Duncan Fields and Katie Oliver. In the service area boards, it's a relatively crowded field in service area number one, which has three seats open and four candidates. They are Scott Arndt, Curtis Howell, Mike Sarofchuk, and Anthony Craig Walton. In the Bayview Road and Menashka Bay service areas, each has one seat open, but there are no candidates. In fire protection area number one, there are two board seats open, but Richard Karstens is the only candidate to file. And the Women's Day Bay service area has three seats open, and only two have filed, Greg Eagle and David Heumann. The Southeast fisherman says he's donating a day's salmon catch every week to help feed his Annette Island community. Metlakatla fisherman Eldon Atkinson says it's an effort to provide food security for Alaska's only native reservation.
So I'm going to be doing this over here in Metlakatla for the rest of the summer. You know, every week I'll bring in one day's full catch and just distribute it among the people over here. And if any other people want some, you know, they can get in contact with me.
His son, Johan Atkinson, says he's coordinating giveaways from his father and his cousin, Cameron Hollywood, through his cultural organization, Luwaida. It also sponsors a dance group, teaches traditional fishery and gathering methods, and serves dinner for elders.
Luwaida.
Michael Patitucci said he and his...
Our Somaliac language and our traditional Simisian language translates to pull together. You know, because we always want to be able to work together, pull together, you know, take care of one another.
The elder Atkinson says that with salmon prices paid to fishermen so low, he estimates a day's catch with his 32-foot gill netter is worth a couple of $100 in cash. But he says to the community, it's a small fortune.
You know, when I gave away almost 1,000 pounds of salmon, you know, and I never seen so much smiling people and big smiles on their face, you know, and you know, they keep on texting me saying they're already, you know, preparing the salmon for their smokehouse or jarring it. And so, you know, just to see the smile on their face, that's what makes me happy, you know.
For more information about the Luwaida group, you can check out their Facebook page. That's Luwaida, Luwaida. The crew of the state ferry Matanuska has been cleared after everyone was tested for COVID-19, the Alaska Marine Highway System officials said Monday. State officials say that all 47 swabs came back negative on Sunday. That's following a report that at least five passengers tested positive after riding the ferry from Cake to Juneau on August 10th. The mainline ferry is in Bellingham, Washington right now after last Friday's sailing was canceled. Service will resume on August 21st when the ferry reserves returns north to Ketchikan. President Donald Trump's administration is appealing a federal judge's rejection of a plan aimed at building a road through the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge on the Alaska Peninsula. 2 months ago, Judge John Sedgwick threw out a land trade between the federal government and an Alaska Native Village Corporation aimed at advancing the road project. He said that the trade was illegal because it violated two separate federal laws, the Administrative Procedure Act and the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA. The Trump administration issued a notice Friday saying that it would appeal the ruling. Residents of the isolated Alaska Peninsula village of King Cove, with support from Alaska elected leaders, have pushed for the construction of a road for decades. They say a road would make it easier to reach the nearby airport town of Cold Bay for life-saving medical evacuations. Environmental groups argue that the road could still be impassable during the winter and foul weather, and that construction and traffic could harm the Eisenbeck's birds and wildlife. This is the second time the Trump administration's land exchange has been challenged in federal court. An earlier version was also thrown out by a different federal judge last year. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says a female brown bear it killed near Hope earlier this month was not involved in the fatal mauling of 46-year-old Daniel Schilling. That's based on a DNA analysis of samples collected from the animal and at the scene. The mauling happened in late July. Fish and Game says it believes a female brown bear attacked Schilling while he was clearing a path behind his cabin, and they believe a black bear later encountered his body. They found DNA from both species at the scene. After the attack, wildlife biologists killed one brown bear and three black bears nearby. Fish and Game says DNA from the scene matches one of the black bears killed. Results from the other three animals did not match any of the samples collected at the scene. Fish and Game says it will continue to collect samples from brown bears harvested by hunters and those killed under defense of life and property laws. Anchorage will spend a little more than half its CARES Act money on rental and mortgage relief, child care assistance and small business relief, and first responder efforts. The city received more than $150 million in federal CARES Act money to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. Budget planning for the money began in May and last week, and the Assembly finalized allocations to a variety of different relief programs. Assembly Chair Felix Rivero spoke at a press conference yesterday afternoon.
While it isn't enough to help everyone and meet all of the need, it's going to help keep people in their homes, keep people employed, alleviate the burden of some parents by helping out with childcare, allow for a better distribution of food to those in need, and more.
The city's first round of CARES Act funding distribution in June focused on businesses, housing, childcare, and jobs programs. The comprehensive plan includes other uses like supporting arts and culture institutions and mental health insurance. The Assembly also approved several jobs programs to provide work for people who are underemployed or out of work. Jobs include trail maintenance, weatherizing homes, and installing energy-efficient infrastructure. There is also a $16 million contingency fund that the Assembly could use to help the community if the pandemic worsens in the fall. The city still needs to meet with the U.S. Treasury Department after the department's inspector general received complaints about how the money would be allocated. Several programs are on hold until then, including property purchases for treatment and homelessness resources, but Mayor Ethan Berkowitz says he doesn't think there will be any issues with the current plan.
Cities across the United States have similarly spent monies in the way that we're spending it here. So we are extremely confident that the appropriations that the Assembly authorized are lawful, proper, and as Congress intended.
The City of Anchorage is still waiting to hear back from the Treasury Department for guidance after a meeting with the Inspector General last week.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch, a one-stop shop for COVID relief funds. More on Swampsea's Forward program after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, online at alaskaboat.com.
One of the most frustrating things coming out of COVID-19 for fishermen and coastal businesses is how to apply for the many relief fund options available or finding someone who can answer questions. Help is one click or phone call away for those who live in the Southwest Alaska region.
Super easy. You go to one screen, one website, and everything that's available comes up and it shows you what you're eligible for, what you might be eligible for, and what you're not eligible for.
Shirley Marquardt is Executive Director of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference, which serves regional boroughs of the Aleutian Pribilofs, Bristol Bay, Kodiak, and the Lakin Peninsula. Swampsea received relief funds to create a free online portal called Forward. Mark Art calls it a one-stop shop for help.
It's taking the mystery out of how to get help and just shows you right there, look at all these things that are available. Which ones fit you? You want to apply? Click apply.
What's best about the Forward program is that a friendly voice will answer or return every phone call. That's the job of Swampsea's Carrie Skaggs.
I respond as quickly as I can because people are nervous, they're scared, they're wondering what their future's going to look like, and I think it makes a difference for them to hear a voice that seems to care.
The virus has canceled face-to-face gatherings and forced the process to be handled online. It's a problem that's drawn attention again to the frustrations about limited broadband access for many rural regions.
They feel disconnected and cut off as it is, and so when they get a live person on the phone and hear a voice that will listen to their needs, it does bring some comfort, even if I can't always solve their problem.
Find answers by emailing forward@swampsea.org and find links at alaskafishradio.com. Thanks to the assist from KMXT. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Celebrate National Honeybee Day and Crab Fest at Kodiak Public Library. Saturday, August 22nd from noon until 4 p.m. You can take a photo in the fun honeybee booth, practice bee work with a pollination game, visit the library's beehives, talk to the beekeeper, and more. Enjoy outdoor, socially distanced honeybee fun. Science, education, games, crafts, and more. Saturday, August 22nd from noon until 4 p.m. at the library.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 29, date issued 10:30 a.m. on August 18th. There will be a 54-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Wednesday, August 19th, until 6 p.m. Friday, August 21st in the following areas. In the inner Iakulik section of the Southwest Kodiak District, and waters will be open to the stream terminus Iakulik River, stream number 256201. In the inner Yugak Bay, outer Yugak Bay, Sitkalitik, and two-headed sections of the east side Kodiak District, north of a latitude of Cape Kiavac at 57 degrees, 0.0 north latitude. The Iqaluit Bay section of the Afognak District will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Wednesday, August 19th, and remain open until further notice. As previously announced, the Duck Bay section of the Afognak District will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Tuesday, August 18th, and remain open until further notice. There will be a 72-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 18th, until 6 p.m. Friday, August 21st, in the following areas. In the outer Karluk and outer Iakulik sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Anton Larsen Bay, Zacher Bay, Spearden Bay, and Uyak Bay sections, will remain closed. The Humpy Deadman and Dog Salmon Flat sections of the Alitak District, the southeast of Afognak, Raspberry Strait, southwest of Afognak, northwest of Afognak, Paranosa Bay, and northeast of Afognak sections of the Afognak District, and the Big River, Hallow Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Dakovac Bay, Katmai, and Alinchak Bay sections of the mainland district north of a latitude of Cape Kekernoi at 57 degrees, 43.5 north latitude, and the Seven Rivers and two-headed sections of the east side Kodiak District south of a latitude of Cape Kiavac at 57 degrees, 0.0 north latitude, and the northeast Kodiak District. The following areas are currently scheduled to close at 6 p.m. Tuesday, August 18th. The Shuyak Island and Paul's Bay sections of the Afognak District. Closed waters are reduced in the Dog Salmon Flat section of the Alitak District until 6 p.m. Friday, August 21st, to the fishing game markers located at the stream terminus at Dog Salmon Creek, stream number 257403. Closed waters are reduced in the Dog Salmon Flat section of the Alitak District until 6 p.m. Friday, August 21st, in the two Horse Marine Lagoons exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline, stream number 257402. Within the Alinchak Bay section of the mainland district, closed waters are reduced to the stream terminus at the ocean shoreline from noon Tuesday, August 18th, until 6 p.m. Friday, August 21st, in the following locations: at Bear Bay Creek, stream number 262654, West Bear Creek, stream number 262656, Big Alinchak River, stream number 262651, and Little Alinchak River, stream number 262652. Until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and the southwest Kodiak District, south of latitude of Cape Kuliuk, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. And other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone, which now works, at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 18th day of August, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 6:42 a.m. Won't set again until 9:44 this evening. That's going to give us 15 hours and 1 minute of glorious daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 44 seconds. Our record high for the date was 74, set in 1995. Our record low was 41, set in 2012. 60 degrees right now, very pleasant day out there, although the clouds seem to be kind of graying up to the north. We're looking for mostly cloudy skies tonight with a high near 60. Calm winds will turn to the southeast and go to about 5 miles per hour. Isolated showers tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies, otherwise a high near 62 tomorrow. And for Thursday, partly sunny skies, the beginning of a heat wave that should go through the weekend, highs in the upper 60s, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 2:52 this afternoon, 7.5-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:14 p.m. of 1.7 feet. Your high tide in the middle of the night will be at 2:24 a.m. of 10-foot tide. And tomorrow morning, tide boolers at 9:03 a.m., the perfect time, a minus tide, minus 1.5 feet. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 3:14 p.m., that's going to be a 15-foot tide. You have a low tide after that at 9:03 p.m. of 1.3 feet, followed by a high tide in the middle of the night at 2:58 a.m., 3 a.m., 16.6 feet. And your low tide at 9:32 a.m. will be minus 3.1 feet on the west side. Looking at our synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet, a 1,006 millibar low, 350 nautical miles southeast of Middleton Island, will become a trough of low pressure on late Tuesday night. A high pressure will persist over the western Gulf through late Wednesday night. Our resulting marine weather is wonderful. On the west east side here, variable wind to 10 knots, seas to 3 feet, and those conditions are going to continue. Seas building to 4 feet on Wednesday and 6 feet on Friday, but your variable wind continuing through Wednesday, going to northwest 15 on Friday. Chiniac and Marmot Bays, variable, less than 10, seas 2 to 3 feet through Friday at least. No, through Saturday for both Chiniac and Marmot Bays. Very nice conditions on the inside waters. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, variable winds to 10, seas to 3 feet. For Wednesday night, variable 10, seas to 3 feet. Thursday through Friday, west winds to 15 knots, seas remaining at 3 feet. The Kodiak Public Broadcasting Corporation Board of Directors will be meeting tonight at 6 p.m. That meeting will be held via video conference, and the public is welcome. If you'd like to join, please email the general manager at gm@kmxt.org, and they'll send along a handy link. The ongoing webinar series for caring with those with dementia is going on tonight as well from 5:30 to 7 p.m., The subject for tonight's webinar will be falling. Falling is a major reason that older people injure themselves and lose independence. In this class, you will learn how to identify hazards in the home that can cause falls, and they'll discuss how vision, medication, management, and physical activity can all make a difference in fall risk. Again, that's tonight, 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's free to attend, but you need to register. For information on how to register, call Joan Adams at 452-2277. Craft Saturday Online is going on this Saturday. A simple child's headdress will be crafted with Hannah Scholl. Watch a tutorial video and learn how to make a simple child's beaded headdress. Video will be uploaded on their Facebook page and their website at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.